insights.
This is Akashvani. In the program Insights, now we bring you a discussion on India's remarkable progress in renewable energy capacity. The participants are Narendra Taneja, energy expert, and Arjun J. Chaudhary, anchor.
I'm joined by Sri Narendra Taneja, energy expert, and today we would be discussing on the fivefold increase in renewable energy production in India since 2014, according to the Ministry of New and Renewable Energy. So it's good to have you on the program.
Thanks for having me.
Mr. Taneja, according to the latest news, non-fossil fuel energy mix includes renewables, hydro, nuclear power, and biopower. And the goal of the central government is to reach 500 gigawatt installed capacity by 2030. And as of October 2025, our total capacity is 242.8 gigawatt of non-fossil fuel-based energy capacity. That includes solar, wind, hydro, bio. So we would be discussing in some detail in order for our listeners to understand how important non-fossil renewable energy is when you compare it to fossil fuels. So could you tell us about the policy of the government regarding its goal of reaching 500 gigawatt and what the current targets achieved are?
Well, if you look at India's journey in terms of renewable energy, it's quite fascinating. If you look at just 10 years ago, 2014, our capacity was just 35 gigawatt. That's it. And we were actually nowhere on the global renewable energy landscape. And there were countries, especially from the West, they used to lecture us that we should do more on renewable energy. Look at the picture today. The same Western countries, the same powers are now coming to India, you know, just to see that how we have done it and done so much in such a short period of time. And they are, of course, global countries of the global South. They are coming to India and trying to learn and cooperate and collaborate with India and Indian companies and Indian entities so that they can also benefit from India's tremendous success and experience. For instance, let me first focus on capacity. Our renewable energy capacity, if you look at it very carefully, it was so small in 2014, and today we are almost in the region of 250 gigawatt. To be precise, close to 246 gigawatt. And if you look at the addition, for instance, the non-fossil fuel, that's including nuclear, we are almost like 225 gigawatt. And when we talk of renewable, just for the benefit of your listeners, we basically talk about solar power, we talk about wind power, and we talk about non-fossil fuel, other non-fossil fuels. Let me first focus on solar, because for majority of people, when we talk of renewable energy, they think in terms of solar. Just solar alone, for instance, we have increased now our capacity 39 times, just from 2.82 gigawatt roughly in 2014 to now about 120 gigawatt in 2025. I mean, if you really think of in terms of the global ranking, we are number three in the world in terms of solar power capacity, which is remarkable. And when we say solar hour, India's achievement, also look at India's Solar Alliance, which is an intergovernmental body representing the whole world, headquartered near Delhi in Gurgaon, and that has now become the kind of hub where countries from both the global north and the global south, they come, cooperate, collaborate, and also benefit from India's experience. Second, wind capacity has more than doubled. If you look at, for instance, 2014 to wind power capacity today, we are talking of roughly 53 to 54 gigawatt in India today. And that makes us the fourth highest wind power capacity in the world, which is remarkable if you look at it. And that's mainly because of the government policy on this and the infrastructure and the incentives that the government has offered. But when you look at the journey of renewable energy, that has become now synonymous with India's growth. And as for many countries, India today stands for renewable energy, or what India has achieved in terms of renewable energy.
Well, let's now hear what Prime Minister Narendra Modi had to say on renewables.
Kisi bhi desh aur rajya vikas ke liye energy security bahut zaruri hai. Saathiyon, tej vikas ke beech hame purani sthitiyon ko bhi bhulna nahi hai. 11 साल पहले प्रति व्यक्ति इलेक्ट्रिसिटी की खपत औसतन 1000 यूनिट से भी कम थी. तब देश को ब्लैकआउट जैसी चुनौतियों का भी सामना करना पड़ता था. हमारे गांवों में बिजली का खंभा भी नहीं लगा था. आज क्लीन एनर्जी से लेकर देश के टोटल एनर्जी प्रोडक्शन तक भारत हर क्षेत्र में नए रिकॉर्ड बना रहा है.
My next question, Mr. Taneja, is on the policy drivers responsible for this non-fossil fuel energy mix, which comes in the form of electricity to the consumer, whether it's a business consumer or the individual or the household consumer. What are these policy drivers? Could you give us some idea about the market-driven bidding and the waiver of interstate transmission charges?
Well, first and foremost is that when Prime Minister Narendra Modi government came to power in 2014, Prime Minister brought this benefit of what state of Gujarat that he presided over as chief minister has done in the renewable energy space. As you know, Gujarat model, especially in terms of renewable energy, had become an inspiration for many states across the country. So Prime Minister brought that experience to New Delhi and to various players in the country through, of course, the federal or the union government mechanism. That was a major policy shift, where renewable energy became a very important part of the government drive in terms of new policy, infrastructure, incentives, and so on and so forth. And what was the basically the motive behind it or the reason behind it? The reason behind it was very simple. India is very blessed in terms of solar radiation, and in pockets, India is also very blessed in terms of the wind velocity. The idea was to take benefit of it and to make India a little bit more energy independent in terms of electricity in particular, because we import 88% of our total requirement of oil. We import bulk of natural gas also, roughly 55 to 56%. And we also import uranium for our nuclear power plant. Not everything, but we import quite substantial amount of uranium too. So the vision of the government post-2014 was simple. To the extent possible, come up with policy so that we can reduce our dependence on imports. So that is the main driver. And as part of that, you know, the government came out with multiple schemes that included, of course, solar, that included wind, that included biofuels, and of course, LED. LED was basically focused more on energy conservation, which has become a kind of grassroots revolution in the country. You go wherever in the country today, you find only LED bulbs. And many developing countries, their experts have descended, come to Delhi just to learn this from the government experience. But if you look at broadly, the target, as I explained, but then there were multiple schemes like Prime Minister Surya Ghar Muft Bijli Yojana. That's a very important player, especially for those households which were keen to install rooftop solar systems. And then also, as you must have heard, the Prime Minister Kusum scheme, which basically is focused on farmers, is to empower farmers in terms of installation of solar pumps for agriculture so that they move away from diesel, which is again an imported fuel, based on an imported fuel that's called crude oil. And third, as everybody is talking about, that's a bit futuristic, future-based, but at the same time, a lot of work is happening, and that is government's national green hydrogen mission. Their idea is that to the extent possible, we can reduce our dependence, and by 2030, target is basically that India is able to produce 5 million tons of hydrogen power. And hydrogen can be used for transport, hydrogen can be used for multiple industrial purposes. And the US must have heard of PLI, that is Production Linked Incentive Scheme, that is basically designed to boost domestic manufacturing of high-efficiency solar PV modules and reduce import dependency. As some of your listeners may know, that we are still heavily dependent on imports for panels and cells for solar power. So this scheme is basically directed in that direction. And we are in the process in India of setting up 2 gigafactories for manufacturing these panels and cells and all that in the state of Gujarat. So broadly speaking, the government focus on and for energy security, reducing dependence on imports, making to the extent possible, Make in India scheme as part of the renewable energy, and at the same time to make sure that every single Indian household and industrial unit has required a sufficient amount of energy available to the extent possible is coming from renewable energy sources.
Let's now hear what Prime Minister Narendra Modi had to say on the occasion of Independence Day, 15th of August.
हम सब जानते हैं कि हम एनर्जी के लिए बहुत सारे देशों पर डिपेंडेंट हैं. पेट्रोल हो, डीजल हो, गैस हो, लाखों करोड़ रुपए हमें खर्च करके लाना पड़ता है. हमें इस संकट से देश को आत्मनिर्भर बनाना, ऊर्जा में आत्मनिर्भर बनाना बहुत जरूरी है. हमने बीड़ा उठाया और आज 11 वर्ष में सोलर एनर्जी 30 गुना बढ़ चुकी है. हम नए नए डैम बना रहे हैं ताकि हाइड्रो का विस्तार हो और हमें क्लीन एनर्जी की उपलब्ध हो. भविष्य की ऊर्जा को ध्यान में रख करके भारत न्यूक्लियर एनर्जी पर भी बहुत बड़े इनिशिएटिव ले रहा है.
Mr. Taneja, do tell us about hydropower, large and small. The data is telling us that 49.62 gigawatt is of large hydropower projects, and for the small, it's 5.10 gigawatt. How important is hydropower in the entire energy mix, even though the output as compared to wind and solar, it's lower?
Hydro is an old story in India, but still what the government has done since 2014 is to kind of go for big reforms in the hydropower electricity so that we can tap into country's hydropower potential without causing any kind of disruption or damage to our ecological order. So that we maintain on one hand the environment of the country, the ecological health of our mountains and our rivers, and at the same time we tap into the kind of resource that's available so the rivers continue to flow in the most healthy manner, but at the same time we can actually produce electricity from there. So for instance, incentivizing run-of-the-river schemes, where basically you don't dam the river, you tap into it, generate electricity, and the water goes back to the river. And at the same time, instead of building, you know, kind of massive dams, which are also being built, but at the same time, wherever possible, avoiding it and going for the run of the river system. At the same time, small to medium-sized hydropower plants in different parts of the country, that's also being incentivized. But the top priority of the government is to maintain the health of the environment, health of our mountains and our rivers, and wherever possible to tap into it. There, the state governments are also playing a very important role, and some private sector companies are also playing a very important role. But that's part of the total energy mix. As I said, that the biggest progress we have achieved is in terms of solar. But hydropower, with the kind of modifications, the kind of reforms which are required, are being done so that we tap into the hydropower resource without, as I said, you know, causing any kind of disruption or damage to India's environment or to our mountains, to our rivers or to our oceans.
Well, clearly the challenge is that if you are targeting renewables in this energy mix as part of your import substitution industrialization policy overall, then you also have to look after the environment and ensure that any impact is mitigated and minimal. Do tell us about biopower as well. This is age old, but now we have the metrics to speak about it. 11.59 gigawatts of biomass and biogas. How effective is this at the local level also?
Biomass and biogas, as since you know that 65% of our population or our economy is still in the rural parts of the country, and since that where majority of our people live and our villages are the heart of India, the core of India, so therefore it's very important that we make rural part of India self-sustainable in terms of energy. Once you have energy, then you know other things follow, including micro and new industries. So that's the government incentive, so that people from the rural areas don't necessarily need to travel to urban areas for jobs or for opportunities. So how do you do that? The first thing is that you take electricity there. So whatever local sources are available there in terms of biomass or biogas, those are being incentivized. Technology is being taken there, the best technology, so that rural farmers and others living in rural areas can do it on their own. Incentives are being provided to them in terms of small capital, also linking that to with other sources of energy, for instance, rooftop solar. So the whole idea is to go for a kind of composite approach. That's precisely the government is doing through the panchayat system, through various state governments. If you look at the government new policy that is on distributed solar, if you mix the distributed solar, that is basically where villages, they come out with their own incentive, their own initiatives in terms of setting up mini solar power plants. So if you look at the distributed solar and you club it with biofuel and biogas, that makes it actually very sustainable, even at the time, for instance, when monsoon season or solar power panels don't have access to sufficient amount of solar radiation. You can still run industry, you can still run mini power plants and so on and so forth. There's a lot of work going on, and if you look at the last 24 months and the last budget in particular, huge incentives have been announced in that direction.
Well, thank you, Mr. Taneja. Thank you for talking to us in great depth, the fivefold increase in renewable energy production in India since 2014. Thank you, sir.
Thanks for having me.
You are listening to a discussion on India's remarkable progress in renewable energy capacity. The participants were Narendra Taneja, energy expert, and Arjun J. Chaudhary, anchor. This program was produced and presented by the News Services Division of Akashvani. Insights.